I want to say one more thing. I've said a lot. He also experienced the unthinkable. This is unthinkable for a prophet. And he was an apostle, but he was also a prophet. You know what that unthinkable thing was? Abandonment by his converts and churches. He was abandoned. Now that's an unthinkable thing. If nothing else is going to make you quit, that should. You know? I gave my life to them. I preached my heart out to them. I worked so they wouldn't be offended. I labored night and day. I went through all this stuff for them, and they still threw me out. That's the unthinkable. You know, David said in the Old Testament, he said, you know, I could have bought it if it was my enemies, but not my friend who ate in my house. There's something just so low. I like that. You haven't lived until the person who lived in your house turns on you and cuts your throat. You haven't lived yet. That's a real one, that. Now, hey, buddy, now you're getting into the elite club. You know, when you go to the airport, it says over here, executive club, members only. Honey, you just got a season pass. Oh, yeah. You've never felt that. I don't know how to describe the pain. The abandonment. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to hear at the end of Paul's life. To me, it's sad that he'd have to end his last epistle this way. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Starting in verse 9, be diligent to come to me quickly, or shame. And you know why he tells you, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and has departed to Thessalonica, Christians for Galatia and Titus for Dalmatia, even Titus quit him. He said, come quickly to me. You know, he wasn't looking for a servant. He could hire one. He was looking for someone who believed in him and supported him and would have his heart. Maybe he sent Timothy, but Timothy had his heart. Only Luke is with me, he says, the physician, the writer of Luke and the book of Acts. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Isn't that interesting? Well, I'll go and talk to Mark and have him fast and pray and get a word and see if he can hear from God and feel good and raise the money and kind of get Mark here. My kind of man.
Amen.
I'm telling you, just bring Mark. Something, isn't it?
Yes.
And then he says something sad. Verse 13, bring the cloak I left with Carpus at Troas. I mean, he had so few clothes, he wanted that jacket he left over there. When you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. Isn't that something? May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Isn't that something? Folks can greatly resist the words. Isn't that something? You know, the first and most shocking discovery I made when I got saved 40 years ago. My brother Brian and I believed if you just tell someone they had to believe, they would, because after all, that's what we did. So we got an old stenograph thing, you know, you wind a handle, and we wrote a letter on how to get someone saved. We just flipped hundreds of these things off. We put them under all the doors of all the old age homes and everything else. And you know, no one responded. I couldn't understand it. Why aren't they responding? They heard, surely now that's all you need. Well, there are people who resist the truth. Isn't that something? They resist the words. There are folks who resist the words. They hear them and their iniquities kick in and they fling them out. You know, your iniquities have been kicking in all your life long. It did that with your mother was the same way and your auntie was the same way and it drove your daddy crazy. And I've got news for you right here and now, my friend. Every time God gives you the word, your iniquities kick in and bleach it. And you wonder why you don't have any victory. He says, you better beware of that guy. He doesn't treat the word of God properly. Verse 16, at my first defense, no one stood with me. I was on my own at the first. But all forsook me. Then he said, may it not be charged against them. He knew they were just being stupid. There are evil people like Demas that he says, let God fix his wagon. But then there are silly people who believe the junk. And he says, look, God help those poor guys. Then he says, I'll tell you what, though, in verse 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me. Isn't that something? He said, I have a message to give, deliver, and God stood with me and all the Gentiles, that all the Gentiles might hear. That's a serious message. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. That means they were going to stick him in an arena and feed him. And then he says, verse 18, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen.